Close this so there's nothing different.
Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed.
Well, we'll put out the verbal welcome mat to anybody that is online, that is listening in, and also the welcome mat to anybody that picks us up on one of the other podcast apps that we have. And I just want to make mention that we do have a Facebook page, and that Facebook page is titled the exact same as the podcast. It's Hidden Treasures Revealed on Facebook. And if people would like to communicate to us through Facebook, we'd be more than happy to respond. You can send messages. We've talked about this before. We can talk about a lot of stuff and talk about truth of God, but the real objective goal is a personal relationship, you know, to have that personal relationship with people, because that's how Messiah did it. You know, just trying to use this as your church, it's not the right way. And then we also have a email at it's Hidden Treasures Revealed at AOL.com. as well. So feel free to look into those and ask questions. If you have questions that nobody can answer for you, or questions that you've been thinking about but haven't been able to ask, maybe another podcast. So Sean, tonight we're going to, you kind of chuckled before we started, it's prayer 2.0. And that's the big thing, is everything's 2.0 and then 3.0 and then 9.0, and you just keep going on and on until you change it to something else, and then you're back at the beginning and start over again. But anyway, the objective goal of this is, the last podcast that we had, we spoke about, it was more about the aspect of us praying to God and us being able to hear their voice. And it was our side of what's necessary in order to hear God. But we're also going to get into this evening, we're going to get into how God talks to us. And this is important, Sean, because as people look into this, they have to know what prayer is. And prayer, like we talked about last time, conversational relationship. Well, if we are having conversational relationship with God, they're going to have it with us. And one of the important things is that there's a scripture in Corinthians that says there's a veil that covers the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, that only in Messiah is the veil lifted and taken away, so that you can then understand. That's not an absolute, okay? You can't understand things that are out of your reach to understand in the gospel message. At that point, you can't understand why God did the destruction that they did. Well, we lean on our own understanding, and that's one of the big things in the Word, is lean not on your own understanding, because we're not God. So we have to lean on the understanding of the Spirit Mother within us, in order for us to even do this podcast. And as we're doing the podcast, it's Mother's the one that brings a lot of things to mind. She lets us speak and go with discernment about things that we speak, because the objective goal with God is that they want us to be independently dependent on them. And it's like if you're you got parents and you're growing up and you don't want to you don't want your parents interfering in your life, so you don't really have that conversation. But when you have something that you want or you want to talk about, then you go to them and you talk to them about it. And we want to draw this back to a scripture that we've said before, and it'll come up again time and time again, because it pertains to the reality of having prayer and pretty much all the truth we speak about. The scripture is, draw near to God, and they will draw near to you. Okay? That means that in this whole objective goal, you have to put the effort forth first to God. And when you put that effort forth, God will return it in a mirror-like image. So if you put forth 1%, then God's going to return 1%. If you put in 100%, then God's going to return 100%. It's important. And what I want people to understand about the Old Testament is that the thing that you can understand, and it's the thing that will carry you to seeing God as the terror they are, and then making a wise decision to first surrender, to second turn your life completely over to them in repentance, and then, so because you have the forgiveness of sins, and then you believe in them, which encompasses all of it, then you get to circumcision of the heart. And what the Old Testament is there for is a message to the people. So, Sean, take whatever time you want and explain how God speaks through the Old Testament.
Actually, just came to mind as we were sitting here about the tabernacle. The tabernacle in the wilderness was given by Yah as a picture of the temple that's in heaven, and even goes further that Messiah is the actual temple, because he even refers to himself as, destroy this temple, and then 3 days it'll be brought back up, because he had said, you know, you look at this temple and this, not one stone will be upon another. And then he talks about him being the temple. So it's really given us a picture of the process of which you draw near to God. And it's a beautiful picture, because what you just spoke, what Yah just gave you, goes along in the tabernacle, because you have to surrender, because you see God as a terror. Well, when you look at the tabernacle, what's the very first thing that you see once you come into the curtain is you see the brazen altar for the animal sacrifice. You have to surrender and realize you've got to sacrifice, be willing to sacrifice yourself, because that's what Yah did for you by giving their son.
And I'm just going to interject just real quick from mother, that as you think about the brazen altar, think about how many animals were put to death year after year to take away or to give the forgiveness of sin, because only Messiah can take away, you living his life, then you crucify yourself, you're dead to the law, then you have the same thing he did by having no sin. But just interjecting that there's many, 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 many thousands and thousands and thousands of sacrifices.
Agreed. And going from you have to surrender, and then you come to that repentance, which is the ceremonial cleansing. And as the tabernacle was standing on the earth, that as the priest, because the priests were allowed to actually go inside the holy place, because you have what's the basin for washing, I can't remember the exact name, like you would have the area of water where you would cleanse yourself and wash. And then, because it makes light of the repentance part, then once you get inside the curtain, you have the showbread there, you have the various materials like for the you have the lampstand. So once you're at the time where you're in Messiah, that's the picture of Messiah's work, because you have the bread there, which is the bread of life. And all of that, it's given a picture of it being hidden for a time, because it wasn't time for Messiah to come yet. So his work is under that first curtain with the lampstand, mother being there. Then once you get further, that you have the holy place, and then the most holy, where you had the altar of incense and the mercy seat with the cherubim of glory around it, given the part of, because there's a curtain that divides that, which that's the ultimate place where, with circumcision of the heart, that you can have that communication with Yah, that you speak directly to Abba and Ema face to face. But the veil is there until when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Like the veil, you start to see things, but for it to be torn away where it's no more is when you have circumcision of the heart. So at that point, it makes sense that the prayers of the saints were referred to as, that's the altar of incense, because the sweet smell of aroma of Messiah, his life is that sweet smelling incense that's burning constantly. So Yah is given a picture of the relationship, because at the beginning you're on the outside, you're in the world, and Yah is there, but there's a way to communicate with them. And in order, there's a process to get to where Yah does hear, but their desire is to listen to those that are seeking after them with all their heart, that are walking in repentance. So you think about it, how Messiah talked about in the New Testament, where he's teaching them a model of prayer. Well, you want to pray, you want to talk to the Father, you know, go into your inner room, go to a place that's quiet and secret, you know, because you train yourself to where you start in the quiet place so you can really hear their voice. But then it gets to the point where it's going to transform, where you don't have to just be in just a dead silent room, that you can be looking and listening for them all the time. So I'm just seeing a picture here of you could go before Yah in the old way, but your conscience couldn't be cleansed because there's still a guilty conscience. And that's why you could have cleansing after giving the animal sacrifice. But once a year, the high priest, which is a representation of Yeshua, had to take blood for his own sin and for the sins of the people. Now, Messiah himself didn't sin, but because he carried a body that had the sin nature, he had to atone for himself for the body that he had. So this whole picture is, you start out where you go through and you can communicate with God, but that personal one-on-one, ultimately when it comes to fruition, is when you have the fullness of faith with circumcision of the heart, because then therefore you're right in front of them face to face now. Where, and just like with repentance, they'll forgive your sins because they realize that, all right, you still have the nature to sin, but your mind is steadfast that you don't want to sin anymore. So therefore we'll communicate with you. But the ultimate desire is to be face to face without sin, where there's no more barrier. So all through the Old Testament, you have to go through that. You have to realize who you are before God and see them as a terror and be willing to put yourself to death because you're so terrified that, what can I do? What can I do to get away? And all right, you repent, okay? And then you walk in repentance as you cleansing yourself, giving a daily sacrifice when you do things you shouldn't. No, I don't agree with that. I'm not doing that again. All right, well, you just sacrifice that. So you put that on the altar and you walk in repentance. But there was not a way to make it to be with Yah face to face until the Son. And it's just a beautiful representation of Messiah's work, is that work that's covered on the inner holy place because the Son hadn't come yet. So that's just for the priest work. And we're called to be a kingdom of priests. So those in Messiah are able to do the priestly work. And ultimately, because of the high priest, we follow in his footsteps. We can approach the throne of grace boldly because the curtain is torn. And now we can conversate face to face. So ultimately, it's a process that you start with. In order for Yah to be able to communicate with you face to face, you must seek after them to get to the point where you're face to face with them. And then, because Yah was there, I mean, Yah would come in like on the cloud and have the pillar of fire. But who was the one that was able to communicate face to face? Was Moses, that he would go and meet with Yah. And same with the Messiah, that Moses was the Yeshua to the people, that Moses met with God and then brought the message to them, just the same as the Son. So every person has to walk the Old Testament. You've got to be the one that, you got to realize that God's a terror, and you must face Abba as a terror in order to have any kind of communication. Because if you're not seeking after Yah to find them as a terror, then you can call out to them or talk to them, but ultimately they're not going to listen until you do what's necessary.
Very true. Very true.
So that was, you had mentioned what Mother putting that on my mind, that's a lot of information, but ultimately Yah giving a picture spiritually of the tabernacle, of the temple, that ultimately we are to be the temple for Mother, the Holy Spirit. And it's given a process of that Yah is bringing the kingdom to earth to give you the example to show you this is the way that the temple is in heaven. Well, certainly if you want to worship God and be the temple for where Mother dwells, that you're going to go through what's necessary in order to be a holy sanctuary for them to dwell, that they can communicate with you, you communicate with them, and make sure that it's the your in your heart is cleansed with sin being taken out of your heart, so that Mother can dwell in your heart. Because ultimately, if she's dwelling in your heart, it's just like we're sitting here, Mother dwelling in us, that we're in the holy place, just talking with Mother, talking with Yeshua, talking with Abba, and you're in the sanctuary. You're in the holy place.
Right. So as you were speaking, I'm sitting here and Mother gave me this aspect, and it makes perfect sense that with God in their whole speaking to people, there are various different ways that they speak to people. You know, God speaks to their people in various different ways and through at various different times. So by the Bible, we know that God speaks to their people. But watch this, okay? It's the Word, and the Word from three different perspectives and three different messengers, okay? So, and this is important for people who might say, well, the Bible says I can't understand the old covenant, and if I can't understand it, why should I read it? And because you can't understand the covenant law. Until you have circumcision of the heart, you can't understand the covenant law and the beauty of it. So don't look for that, but look for what you can see, which is God the Father speaking to his people through the prophets. God the Father praying to the people, having conversation in hopes that they will have a relationship with him through the prophets, okay? So you have the Word of God spoken through the prophets. Just because a prophet spoke it doesn't mean it's not the Word of God. It's absolutely the Word of God, because even the prophets, when they spoke the Word of God, they made that profession. You know, the Lord came to me on, you know, this day, and this is what the Lord Almighty said. And then they go into the prophecies that were given. That's how God's going to speak to you in the beginning parts of faith. And that's why it's so important. Don't try to skip ahead to the New Testament. Stay in the Old Testament until you see and recognize and understand what you need to understand in there. And because in the Old Testament, like you said, it lays out God as a terror. Here's what you can understand about the Old Testament. Okay, you can understand obedience and trust. God told the people, trust and obey. Okay, doesn't matter if you understand. If you have faith in God, you trust and obey. And those that did that with unceasing and unfailing love had forgiveness for their sin. Because even the when it was spoken about Saul, that one time when he kept the plunder when he wasn't supposed to, it was spoken to him. Does God prefer a sacrifice over over obedience? And no, the sacrifice comes second to the obedience. And so the objective goal is God's showing people through the prophets and through the Old Testament that they are a terror. And if you don't obey them, you will perish. You will die. And then there's absolutely nothing you can do about it until you meet God as a terror and surrender. When you meet God as a terror and surrender, and you're only going to do that through the Old Testament, But don't try to understand the covenant law, but understand what you're able to understand. And that is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's what the purpose of the prophets and the things that happened that God showed when somebody disobeyed what they were told, there was a punishment for it. And if it was defiance, then it was death. And that person has no place in the kingdom because they were defiant to God. And so it's huge. And then we have the word from the prophets that, remember in the word, it says that Messiah is given a parable, and he's talking about the one who sent his servants, and you killed the servants, you know, some sold in two, they were put to death, they were destitute, the prophets were. And then in that same story, it says, then they sent the son, and they killed the son as well. Well, what do you think it's going to be like if you kill the Son of God? So the Son came along to bring the Word of God to show you that it's about obedience and trust. It's not about the law. It never was about the law. It is always about the absolute heart, I mean, mindset of obedience to God. Now, pre-circumcision of the heart, you can't change it. You can only keep it in your mind steadfast. And, well, I'm not doing that again. And you'll do it again. No, I'm not doing that again. And the objective goal is be adamant, be indignant, have longing and alarm for it to go away so that you can show God you mean what you say. Even if you go to your grave, I'm still going to fight this because I know it's wrong. Well, you have forgiveness of sin. Because you're going to do things until you have the circumcision of the heart where that dirt is taken away. You can only do it in your mind. And Messiah's whole life was about, I do everything the Father tells me to do, which is obedience and trust. You can't obey somebody that you don't trust. And if you don't obey somebody, you're proving that you don't trust them. So it's fact. And then you have the word again in circumcision of the heart, where scripture says, I will write my laws on their hearts. Well, what more is that than the precious gift of mother within your heart? It's all written on your heart now. Now you can start understanding the reason and the concepts behind the covenant law. And but you always remember that you can't earn it. It's only by grace that before we did anything, God came forward and said, I'm going to put a way for you to have salvation. But people think that it's going to be a cakewalk and I'm just going to win the prize because I'm just going to twiddle around here until the music stops and I'm going to get the prize. Well, in a cakewalk, a lot of people, only one person gets the prize, but many other people don't. And just one more thing, and we'll bring it back to you. That also shows you, all right, I'm going to ask you a question, Sean. How many curtains are there in the tabernacle of God, the original tabernacle?
Well, see, I mean, you have in the actual wilderness, like you have the, I don't know what you call it, like the courtyard, like you have the curtains around, like you're talking about the actual.
I'm not referring to the actual, like what they used as the outer walls.
Okay. From what I'm recalling, you have the one, you have the curtain that's between the holy place and the most holy place. And then you have, like you have a tent, like you have the holy place and then the most holy place that are covered by a tent. So I'm thinking, from what I remember, there's one large curtain that separates the mercy seat and the altar of incense from the rest of the, from the lampstand and the showbread, that right. There'll be one that I'm thinking, or I'm not recalling more than one curtain.
Right. But watch this. Cause if you go back and as soon as I say it, you'll be like, oh, that's right. Okay. Was there not a curtain as an entranceway to the courtyard.
Oh, correct. Yeah, you had to go through that. Correct.
Okay, yep. So you have to, nobody's grabbing people and pulling them into that tabernacle. Okay, you have to find your way in the wilderness, not only to the tabernacle, but to the entrance to that tabernacle. And the only way you're going to do that is through Abba and listening to Abba through the Old Testament. That is the only way you're going to do that. Well, you come into the courtyard, then you have the altar of incense, or no, the
brazen altar.
The brazen altar, which is the altar for sacrifice. Okay. Then after the sacrifices were done, then the priest took the blood through the next curtain into the holy place, and then went on into the went through the curtain that was the most holy place.
And just once a year.
Right. And so if you look at it, the mother, the spirit, being the most precious, is that last curtain. Messiah is the second curtain, and Abba is the first curtain. But Abba's not going to come to somebody and just say, well, you're not seeking me, so I'm going to tell you where the entrance to the tabernacle is, and I'm going to tell you where the tabernacle is, where the entrance is, and how to get in there. No, there has to be a crying out, a calling aloud, a seeking God that I want to be in this tabernacle, show me. And God says, okay, read the word. And if you don't believe that's true, then what about the rich man and Lazarus? When the rich man, when he was on the other side of the chasm.
Yeah.
That he was pleading for Abraham to send somebody back to talk to his family, because certainly if somebody rises from the dead and goes back, that they will believe. And what was Abraham's response?
Even if somebody were to come back from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. That if they want to know it, let them listen. Because I just actually read this recently and said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them, which really should be let them listen to them. Because even if they ignore that, if they don't go that route, even if somebody came back from the dead, they would not believe it, because the programming would still be there and you would not go through the Old Testament and you would just say, oh, look at that. Jesus, you know, healed them through them. And you would just stay with your programming instead of, because that rich man was pleading, you know, please let me go back because they'll repent. Well, how would he know that they would need to repent? Because once you're there, you see, and oh my gosh, I didn't repent, and that's why I'm here. Well, just let me go back from the dead and I'll convince them. But no, you weren't even convinced when you were still alive.
Right. And what was the key to salvation, to hearing the voice of God?
Listening to Moses and the prophet, the Old Testament.
Right. The Old Testament. You can't bypass the Old Testament and get into faith, because the Old Testament is what allows you to get to the entrance. First, you have to find the tabernacle. Then you get to the entrance of the tabernacle. And then through Abba says, okay, now I'm going to introduce you to my son. But you haven't had conversation with me yet. So I'm introducing you to my son. He's going to show you how to trust and obey. And he's going to trust and obey even to the point of giving his life on the cross. And he's showing you the example that you must walk in, that you must crucify yourself with Messiah. And it's the exact same thing. So then he brings you to Messiah. Then if you want to have communication with the Father, then you ask Messiah. He goes to the Father, and then he brings back your answer, because he's your advocate at that point. But then when you have that transformation in circumcision of the heart, now you have face-to-face talking with Abba. Now, somebody might argue and say, well, if you're face-to-face, that means you see their face and you are going to perish because you have to die. But we did an example of this in the gathering just recently. It was a Sunday night when you had mentioned about face to face, but you would see them. And then we put up a blanket in front of us, and you were facing me and I was facing you, and we were face to face, but we couldn't see that. That blanket between us and Abba is Messiah. That's we're in Messiah, so we're seen as Messiah, and therefore we can speak to the Father face to face. But you're not going to get to see their face unless they choose they're going to let you, and then more than likely you're going to perish, just like Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, and he told the people what they did, and then he turned and had conversational relationship with God face to face, actually seeing him on his throne, but he was going to perish in the stoning, so it didn't matter. So he saw God face to face, and he died physically, but then he went on and he moved and went to Abraham's side. And so it's just important, because unfortunately, in many, many churches today, the Old Testament is set aside because you can't understand it. You can't understand it. Well, you can understand, but you have to understand what there is to understand. And the Old Testament is there for you to see God is a terrorist, and if you disobey them, they will kill you. It'd be no different than you being in front of Osama bin Laden and he tells you to do something. Of course, we know he's dead, but he tells you to do something. You're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Do you think you're actually going to walk out of that room? No.
No, they would say either whoever's there would kill you immediately, or they would take you outside and like get rid of this person immediately. They're an infidel.
Right. And so it's huge, but just having that thought about it's the word, because the word of God takes form through Abba speaking to the prophets and then speaking through Messiah by his life. And his life was he came to be like us in every way, so we can do it because he came to be like us in every way. And then we have the precious, the most precious, the holy of holies, which is the most protected, is Mother. Mother, the spirit, is the most protected, and that's why Messiah said, any sin committed against me, it can be forgiven. Any sin committed against my Father, it can be forgiven. But any blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, of the most precious one, the beloved of Abba and the mother of Messiah, no, you have nothing but a fearful expectation of fire.
And the reason for that is because once you come to know Mother and can have intimate conversation with her, circumcision of the heart, that at that point it's knowing, and at that point it would be deliberate. And that's why because going to Abba, it's still the forgiveness of sins, there's still ignorance of what's still there and what's available to you. You haven't been enlightened yet to where like you turn on that bright light and the darkness flees. And you're full of light, Mother's within you, and then you're full of light and you say, I want the darkness to come back in. Well, we know from when you turn on a light that the darkness is always the part that flees. You bring darkness back into Yah, or the light will drive that out and you'll be driven out. And that's why it's mentioned when you fall away, because just like we have the lights on here, as I remember when we leave here, how dark it is when this light goes off. It would be, if you brought that darkness in, that Yah immediately would be gone. And that's why it's unforgivable, because it's deliberate, because up to that point it's not. And that's just awesome revelation, just sitting here, that I didn't even have that until now, about when you enter the tabernacle that Abba is there. And what does he show you? You realize you have the fear of him and you surrender. And then he opens up and says, now do you see? Because you say, Abba, I'll do whatever it takes, whatever it is, I'll do it. Okay. Which means you'll sacrifice, and the sacrifice is there. And then you sacrifice, you repent, and you cleanse your hands. Your sins are forgiven because you wash, but you still don't have the clear conscience yet, because Mother is still there to take you through the circumcision of the heart so that your conscience can be clear. You couldn't cleanse the conscience. You could cleanse the mind. So it's just a beautiful process that just goes step by step. But I'm going to take it back to something you said about understanding the covenant law, and the reason that the law cannot save you is because the law is about perfection. that in the Old Testament, if you were to say that you're righteous by law, then you would have to be God. You could not be in a fallen body. And the point is, Yah is bringing the law from heaven to earth to show you that you are not holy, that you're a lawbreaker. So it's to test the hearts of people to say, who are the ones that are going to recognize because this law is in place? It's to bring fear and realize that you deserve punishment because you're a lawbreaker. It's to separate those to who is going to obey and who's going to disobey. It's like it's a plumb line. It's because before that, sin was not taken into account. So the law is given. The written code is put out there to distinguish, okay, who's going to obey me and who's not. I'm not looking for perfection because this isn't about perfection. This is about revealing sin. But who's the one that's going to obey versus the one that's not going to obey? But once you have circumcision of the heart, mother comes to live within you. Now, what the law did before was the law killed you because it's perfect and holy, but it puts you to death because I can't be holy. I can't because of this law. To now, the law was put into your heart, where now it's not about you being perfected yet, but it's about perfecting. So the law helps you with circumcision of heart. The other way, the law brings you to a point of putting yourself to death. So the law is, as it says in Romans, that the law is good and holy and just. In the Old Testament, the law puts you to death because it's the covenant that brings condemnation. But the covenant with Yeshua, with Mother, brings life. So the law has a purpose, and anybody out there, if you've been through Romans, reading through Romans, Mother through Paul explains this beautifully about what the purpose of the law is, that the law, you know, ultimately was a schoolmaster to bring you to Messiah. And like you said, that Messiah is showing you the way that the whole thing about this is trusting and obey God. That yes, if you trust God, you obey God. And because it even says, we just talked about Hebrews, that if perfection would have come through the law, then certainly there would have been a way to be perfect through the law. But the way to righteousness is faith, which is obedience to God. And I had this scripture come to mind when you mentioned the word, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. It doesn't say that Messiah is just the Word only, but in the beginning was the Word, that Yah is the Word, and the Word was with God, just like, because it's a part, it's who they are. And then, you know, it talks about like John chapter 1 is what I'm thinking here, that but it's about, it's giving you a model of prayer where Yah has put themselves out there so that I'm giving you what's needed to have conversational relationship with me, that I'm laying out the foundation for you to be able to communicate with me, and the best communication is to fear me and to obey my commands. And you do that and you're going to get my attention. You disobey, you're going to get my attention. But it's just interesting how the creation was out there so that you know that God exists. So Yah says, okay, now what are you going to do? Are you going to seek after me, or are you going to not do anything? And then I can know from there. But that's just what came to mind. It's just in regards to, we can, it's not about living the Old Testament perfectly, because you cannot do that, but it's about obedience to God. It's always been about obedience. Now, it's a terror, because you need to understand that the fear of me is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. But Yah is a terror, and Yah is a friend.
Right, but you have to meet Yah as a terror, and you have to prove that you're a friend. And you prove that through what the gospel message is anyway, which is repent, obey, and trust. That aspect of repent, obey, and trust is carried out through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Absolutely, all the way through, it's repent, trust, and obey. Repent, trust, and obey. And so, God being a God of order, you have to do this in the order that it's set up for. So, in order for you to get into the courtyard, for Abba to bring you into the courtyard, to bring you to Messiah, then you have to immerse yourself in repentance, obedience, and trust to the Father without actually having verbal conversation that you can hear their voice, whether they speak to you verbally or through extrasensory perception. But that's the reality of it, is that your first immersion, when we talked about the baptism a while ago, your first immersion is for you to immerse yourself into repentance to Abba, into obedience to Abba, and into trust. And if you don't turn completely to somebody, then it's not repentance because it's a complete turn. And then, therefore, you can't trust. So it has to be done in that order. You have to repent. You have to turn to that person so that you can obey them. If you don't repent to them, then you're not going to give two hoots to what they say. And it's interesting because many people will look at the New Testament and it will be professed. You know, somebody says, well, where do I start? Where do I start? Well, the best place for you to start would probably be in the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and start there and work your way through. But here's a reality, okay? And this is fact, okay? Without the Old Testament, you cannot understand the New Testament until you go through the Old Testament, until you walk in the Old Testament like Messiah did, until you crucify yourself with Messiah, then you're not going to get there. See, why in the New Testament did they constantly use the Old Testament scriptures? Because they were speaking to people who know or knew what the word said. They paid attention to the law and the prophets. The ones that did were the ones walking in repentance, obedience, and trust to Yah, and there were some that weren't, and so they paid no mind to it. But that's the reality, where before you even get into the courtyard, you have to, it's a must, you have to immerse yourself into the repentance of Abba, the acceptance of who they are, and that's friend and terror, and then obey and trust them. And it's a complete mindset of absolute obedience and trust. Then, because we know that Messiah said, nobody comes to the Father except by me. But it's also said, nobody comes to me unless drawn by the Father. Okay, well, yeah, you don't get that personal relationship with Abba at that point. No, you're proving to Abba that you're a good fit for this prearranged marriage to his son. And you prove that. And then Abba says, okay, I'm going to open the curtain for you. Come on into the courtyard. But while you're in the courtyard, you've got to work towards the sacrifice, and the sacrifice is sacrifice of self. And many people might say, well, yeah, I've sacrificed myself. Yeah. Now, you talk about a task. When you put yourself to death completely, and it's all about God and their law and what they want, man, that's the most difficult thing you could ever do. But that's what Messiah is there for you, that, okay, now you have to go through the same process you did with Abba, because Messiah is not going to let you to mother if you're not going to repent, trust, and obey him. And even he said that, you know, by a parable, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, just like the wise and the foolish builder, okay, you listen to me and you put these into practice. Okay, now I know that you're producing fruit in accordance with repentance. And therefore, now I can introduce you to mother, and mother will give you circumcision of the heart. And then you'll have that last curtain removed. In that process, before you get that last curtain, you get into the holy place. Now it's about you repenting, obeying, and trusting mother, the spirit, for your guidance, for everything that you're going to do. And when you prove that, when you prove in your mind, because you're not going to be able to do it in the body of flesh, you're going to find yourself trying to hide your sin, because you know you're not supposed to sin, but you find yourself hiding more sin, and nothing's getting better. And I speak to that from experience in the past, that I would hide it so other people wouldn't see it, but I myself, If you're honest with yourself, you know you're still sinning. And until you have a clear conscience of it, that's not seared, but because seared is not with knowledge. The conscience is with knowledge. So you pledge with knowledge to, I'm going to repent, obey, and trust. And you do whatever you're told to do, and you walk in that life. That's why the New Testament was being spoken to people who spent time at the tabernacle and listening to the scrolls when they were read. And even Messiah went in and he read the scrolls and he spoke about the scrolls. And even at 12 years old, he was sitting there discussing the things in the tabernacle with the priest. And they were amazed at his knowledge and his understanding that he had at 12 years old. Well, that's because, well, I do everything the Father tells me to do. What is that? I walk in the Old Testament law, under the law. I know that it's not going to save me because my sacrifice has to happen, and you obey God to the point of death, well, now you got something. And people need to know, when you start this journey and you're truly seeking with all of your heart, it's going to be hard. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't back up. You just keep pushing forward, because it's a mind game at first, because you're still going to sin. You're going to know you sin, but if you've truly repented to Yah, and you know you've repented, you still have the guilt for your sin, but you also have the relief of knowing that it's forgiven, until you come to the point of circumcision of the heart and you're relieved of a guilty conscience, because you're not guilty with knowledge and you know why you're not guilty. And so it's just a beautiful aspect of the tabernacle, of how you have to do it. And God is a God of order. You have to go through it in the order it's laid out. You cannot come to Messiah if you set aside the Old Testament. I don't care what you say, how much you argue it. It does not matter. Unless you go to God through the Old Testament, recognize him as a terror, repent, obey, and trust him, and do that to the point that you've proven yourself in your mind that this is what I want, then Abba will, okay, now I'm going to bring you to the Son, because I see that you have the drive, and you have the you have what's necessary, because you do what you say you're going to do and you fulfill it, but you're not at the end yet, because Messiah's got to put you through the test. Messiah's going to test you in the repentance, obedience, and trust. And then, you know, and then you, at that point, when you've repented to Abba and you're at the point with Messiah, now you have an avenue of communication with Abba that, yeah, it's not face-to-face, but you still have a way to ask things through Messiah, and then Messiah will bring the answer back to you. So if you do hear a voice at that time, it's not going to be Abba, it's not going to be Emma, it's going to be the Son who's bringing you that answer. And again, that also gives you an opportunity in that time frame to be able to recognize the voice that's speaking to you.
Well, that's an interesting point with the New Testament that you're talking about, because when you go into the New Testament, that Yeshua has all kinds of parables, and he even says that I only speak to the people in parables. And speaking in parables is because so they can see without perceiving, because the people, their minds were closed because they weren't walking in agreement with Yah. And if you're not going to come to me by my Father, where you walk in repentance, obedience, and trust, then you're not going to be brought to me, because even in the Word it says that no one comes to me unless they are drawn by the Father. So you have to come to Abba first, because Abba would then qualify you to be brought to Yeshua. And then Yeshua would then qualify you to be brought to Mother, the Spirit. So they all work together, and you must have all three of Yah as a whole. You must have Abba, you must have Yeshua, and you must have Mother in order to have the fullness of faith. And it was interesting, you made a statement, and I thought, wow, this is an interesting way of looking at this statement that I just said. Think about this when you talked about that God is a God of order, okay? You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So we know from Hebrews that Melchizedek was king of Salem, king of righteousness, that Messiah is a priest in that order. And we know this is the heavenly order. So the heavenly order is repentance, obedience, and trust. So that's the thing that Messiah follows in that. And it made me think of this. So once you have circumcision of the heart, once you are in Messiah, it says that you dwell in the heavenly places in Messiah. So think about this. By being in Messiah, you carry on spiritually the body of Messiah here on earth, that you walk around in the spiritual tabernacle with the high priest. And so it's even more, we just talked about, can you abandon your salvation? That how much greater is it once you're in Messiah that your lampstand will be removed from its place, that you will be removed if you don't repent? And so what you're now walking in the ministry of the new covenant in the heavenly places. So you're walking around spiritually with Messiah in the heavenly tabernacle. And how much more do you deserve to be punished if you trample the blood of Messiah underfoot in that tabernacle, which no, that's not going to be tolerated. So it's a transformation from the old to the new. The new covenant is just, you take the tabernacle from the physical and transfer it to the spiritual. So you're just transferring all of those things into the heart. So now you continue in the covenant, but now it's a covenant based on perfecting, not on animal sacrifices. It's about you being a living sacrifice. You take on the tabernacle. You take on being a living sacrifice, because in the New Testament, which you talked about, you must understand the old, you are building a spiritual house, giving spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah. So you're giving the sacrifice acceptable to Yah through Messiah. So now it's spiritual sacrifices. It's you deal with your lower conscience programming that come up. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. I'm not doing those things anymore, where you're putting those things to death. You're sacrificing, and it continues. And it's just but you can't understand that if you don't understand how the Old Testament part of it works. Like, you, how many times have you heard this? Oh my gosh, I'm reading through Leviticus, and Leviticus, it's just, oh my gosh, the sacrifices, and it's just so boring. It's just, because I've heard people say that. And I'll admit that, like, I'm going through and it's like, gosh, it's just so many sacrifices and all the detail. Well, think about it, because this is giving you a picture of the heavenly, that it's very detailed on the sacrifice needs to be done a certain way in a certain prescribed way, because that's what's pleasing to God. And make sure that when you sacrifice, you're doing it this exact way, because the heavenly is particular. And it gives you a picture of the sacrificial system, because being in Messiah, you still are in the sacrificial system, but you're not sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats. You're sacrificing the things that are in your life that aren't beneficial, that you want the godly to be put in. So you still sacrifice daily. And it's just from a different perspective, because you've transferred. And it even says in Hebrews that, you know, when there's the death of the testator, or, you know, the one that a will is for, Messiah, that there's a change of the law. Well, the change of the law is it's changing it from this physical to the spiritual code, which is greater. So obedience to God continues, but it changes from a written command to a command that's in the heart. So all of this, it's just what Messiah came to put into place was to transfer it from the physical to the spiritual. And if you can't understand the physical, you're not going to be able to understand the spiritual. Even Messiah said that I'm talking to you about earthly things and you don't understand. And he said, how could you understand? But I see it as you will not understand spiritual things if you don't understand the purpose of the tabernacle.
Right. And what's interesting is that part of the Old Testament, it can be, if you think about it from this perspective, it can be monotonous. Okay. Chronicles is one of those where it's about genealogies and genealogies and genealogies and genealogies. But what's interesting is that if you read through it, you get little pieces of treasure that are there. 1 Chronicles 4 is where you find the prayer of Jabez. It's going through, and it gets to Jabez, and then it makes a comment about Jabez and what he did and a model of prayer. And that's a, you know, that's a beautiful thing. Again, like we said last time, don't use that. Don't just recite it like a mantra over and over, but use it for a base concept of praying to God and asking for things. And then I think it's in Second Chronicles when you come across the eyes of the Lord range back and forth throughout the whole earth, searching to strengthen the heart that is fully committed to God. Well, if you never read Chronicles because it's, oh, it's just so boring, and well, you miss out on those beautiful nuggets. And the one that says the eyes of the Lord range back and forth throughout the whole earth, searching to strengthen the heart, listen to this, that is fully committed to them. Fully committed. It doesn't say fully sin free. That you carry full commitment to God. Like the Old Testament, we know that they couldn't be relieved of their sin. Even the ones that were walking in obedience to Yah, Abraham, Moses, Noah, Joshua, all the ones, what did it say about those when Messiah died? Well, they were held in dungeons waiting for the day that Messiah would come bring them the circumcision of the heart, because they had the physical, or their mind was circumcised, but they didn't have the circumcision of the heart, and therefore they couldn't be in a place of peace and rest. But when he finished his work, then for all those that walked in repentance, obedience, and trust to Abba, they were taken and separated, and a chasm was put between the two, and they referred to it as Abraham's side, and that's because Abraham's known as the father of faith. So it's really important. And just to hit a little bit on the aspect that you spoke about with Messiah speaking to them in parables, and you hit it that, well, if I speak to you of earthly things and don't understand, how can you understand spiritual? And again, Mother putting it there that you can't understand if you can't understand from the earthly perspective. So what was Messiah doing? He was drawing them to the Old Testament. He was drawing them to the understanding of repentance, obedience, and trust to Abba, because you need that before Messiah does anything for you. Messiah can't even talk with you and conversate with you until the Father brings you to Messiah. And in order for you to get to Messiah, there's stuff that you have to do. Now, because you do it, are you earning it? No, no, absolutely not. Because God said from the creation of the world that we're going to have a plan for salvation, because man is not capable of perfection according to the written code. But when you have the transformation of circumcision of the heart, you also have a transformation of the law. Now, Messiah said, I'm not taking a single stroke away from the law. Because he knows it's important for people who are going to find faith in Abba, him, and Mother, that you have to trust that and believe that. Well, the whole objective goal is that you get to the point where you have Mother in your heart, and now you can understand spiritually. Because at one point, you have to be under the law, by the letter of the law, but then it transforms to the spirit of the law, and that's the transformation that takes place in the crucifixion and resurrection of Messiah, and it has to happen with us too. We have to die to ourselves to be resurrected to a new life of humility before God in order to be able to stand firm and do what's right in a world where everybody wants to do what is not right, and people are taking the good of God and making it bad, and making the bad things of the world good. And because you may speak, or we may speak out against something, and we're bad because we're putting somebody down. And the reality is that none of what we're talking about is ours. It's not our opinion. It's the truth of God. It's factual truth of God. And so in order for things to be spiritually discerned, you have to have Mother in your heart to spiritually discern. That way, you're able to discern how to not have sin in your life. because that's something that is not physically, from the physical world, you can't understand that. It's not possible. You have to have mother for you to be able to feel and know that clear conscience, and then to be able to walk in it with a clear conscience, knowing that there is no sin.
This came to mind that if anybody thinks, and people can think what they think, but if you think that, well, God isn't a God of terror, that, you know, God is love. Well, this just came to mind that in the Old Testament, Yah was looking to kill Moses. People think, well, why would God? Moses was chosen as a servant of God, but because he didn't have his son circumcised. And what did the law say to be circumcised? That it was his wife that stepped in and did that, because it didn't say that, well, Yah was thinking about it. And no, Yah was going to kill Moses. And you would think, well, that's pretty serious. Because Moses, when you have a child that you circumcise them on this day, because they were the law was in place. And so that I was just thinking about that, to think about that, that, oh, God is love, God is peace. Yes, they are from a true perspective. But at that time, that if his wife hadn't stepped in, Moses would have been killed by Yah, and it wouldn't have been murder, because Yah didn't have malice in mind, but it was justice, because look, I made it clear that a child will be circumcised at this time. And if you don't do it, you disobeyed, and it's fair and just for you to be put to death. So it's not murder, because there was no malice involved, but just that just came to mind, to where if you think that you have to come to it by seeing Yah as a terror, that's a terror that Yah was going to put Moses to death over. And we would think, oh, something that, but it's not trivial, because it's what Yah wants, and you're not going to obey it. Then that should terrorize you too. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to obey this God, because I don't want to be put to death like that. Or, you know, we even have a picture in the New Testament in regards to blasphemy of mother, Ananias and Sapphira. Did you do these things? You know, no. Okay, well, now your body's going to be carried out with her, and you're instant death. Because why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You know, it wasn't like, okay, well, you didn't mean to do it, so go ahead and repent of this wickedness. It's like, did you give us everything? Yep, everything. All right, and you're going to sit here and lie willingly. Okay. So we even have a picture, and that brought fear onto the people. So you must come to Yah as a terror first to realize who they are, that they are a consuming fire.
Well, and it's interesting, because as too many people have perceived God in their wholeness to be a he, and a he, unfortunately, a lot of women, good, God-fearing, strong faith women, get overlooked in the Bible and not put in the spotlight, because it's all about the man, it's all about the man, it's all about the man. But just like you brought up, Moses' wife saved his life. Saved his life. Now, with it being brought to him was because you didn't do the circumcision like you were supposed to, and he probably didn't do it intentionally. Because if it was intentional, there would have been then he would have been put to death immediately. There wouldn't have been the rest of that story. But it just slipped his mind. But how many kids do you think he had after that? That were male, that he didn't circumcise them on the eighth day. I would venture to say, because he wasn't killed that way, that everyone after that, he made sure that he fulfilled that covenant of circumcision, but he broke the law in some other place, not that he wanted to. And so, you know, these are things that are hugely important for people to understand. And if you set aside the Old Testament, many people set aside the Old Testament, and they profess they have faith in God. I've committed myself to Christ. And it's sad, because we were there. We walked in that for a while. And the reality is that, no, you haven't committed yourself to Christ, because you haven't committed yourself to Abba, the one that you can't see, the one that will not talk to you verbally or through extrasensory perception. You have to believe the prophets. And therefore, you prove your faith because you believe that what they're saying about him proves him to be a terror. And I'm not on his side. And I need to approach that appropriately. And I need to surrender first. Then I need to see that the Lord is good, or I see that, no, I don't, yeah, I know he's God, but I'm not going to believe in what he does. Well, a lot of people can do that because they lean on their understanding and not God's. And the whole, one of the biggest points of this is that God in the Old Testament is praying to the unbeliever. And the unbeliever that truly wants to have faith in God will have to go to the Old Testament, set the New Testament aside, and you're going to have to see God as a terror. Here's where part of the problem is, and this comes to mind. Part of the problem is that it's hard for you to picture somebody as a terror that you've already considered a friend, even though they've never considered you a friend. But you're so convinced because you've seen this person every Monday at work, or every 5 days a week at work. And so, you know, I consider that to be in a relationship. And no, the objective goal is to get to know who God is. And God is praying to people through the prophets. And again, the faith part has to come first. And if you want God to speak to you, then you have to speak to them. And you have to speak, you know, and the things you should be speaking to Abba in the beginning should be about repentance, obedience, and trust. I believe that who you are. I know that you're right, fair, and just. And that's what I'm going to follow, whether I understand it or not. And therefore, I'm going to carry this out. But if you set the Old Testament aside, you set aside Abba and his conversational relationship to you through the prophets. And if you don't have that, you cannot be drawn to the Son, because the Father has to draw you to the Son. And if you try to go to the Son first, and many people have tried to go to the Son first, and we did it, we tried to go to the Son first, and we never hit that place of actually being with the Son. We thought we were until we started hiding sin instead of getting rid of it. But there comes a point when you have a mind set, and a mind set is fully committed to God. Last time I checked, full is full. It cannot hold anymore. It's not, well, you know, I'm 99.9% fully committed to God. No. If you're not 100% committed to God, then you're not committed to God. It's like the old saying, if somebody tells you a story and it's 99% true and 1% wrong, then it's a lie. Why? Because how do you know beyond that 1% what that person is telling you is truth or not? You don't. It's an impossibility.
Well, and just going with this, just further explanation, we understand it, but it must be understood what, and Hebrews discusses this, that what is the work of the Son? Because the Son will do you no good if you're not lined up to fall into the work of the Son, because what does the Son preach? Go and sin no more. I've come to do your will. I've come to do away with sin by the sacrifice of myself. So he's the model to show you that you're walking in repentance and you detest sin, that you don't want to sin because you want to obey God no matter what, even if to the point of death. Okay, now I'm going to show you the example that it's about obedience to God no matter what, even unto death. And that's the example. But if you don't have a heart that's steadfast to walk in the will of God no matter how it affects you, then you're not going to even come to the Son, because you're going to reject him because it's going to be too hard. Well, you mean I have to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Oh, is this too hard for you? I thought you were prepared for this because you have the terror of my Father. You knew that it's going to be, that this is the narrow path. So what do you mean you're rejecting this? So the enemy is very crafty to keep people, because the enemy has understanding of the Bible, that he knows that if he can keep people out of the Old Testament and just put you in the New, then you come to Jesus And you don't come to Messiah through repentance. You come to him through a decision. And you acknowledging that the Son of God is who he is doesn't do anything. Okay, you acknowledge that I'm the Son of God. Okay, well, that doesn't benefit you anything because, again, the Hebrews, that Messiah Yeshua is the source of eternal salvation for those who obey him. Well, you can't obey him if you don't obey Abba first, because nobody comes to me unless the Father draws them, just like the tabernacle. All right, come into the tabernacle. Here's my son. Do you see his sacrifice on the altar? Do you see how he walked in obedience? And through him, you'll be able to see my precious spirit. And then therefore, she'll help you to live this life and put to death the misdeeds of the body. But because it's interesting in Revelation that there's a mystery that says, let the one that has wisdom figure out the 666. Well, 666 meaning a number that's incomplete, not seven like Yah. And if I can just keep you off track and just keep you out of one little area that, like you said, if you don't have the 99.9 per, or if you have 99.9, well, if you have 80%, you're good, you know, because God is love. So, but if you don't have that terror, then you're going to assume that you've come to the Son, and then you'll be standing in that line. And he says, well, Lord, I thought I did all these things in your name. And then he'll say, get away from me. I never knew you because you practice lawlessness. Well, who's the one that you need to be a terror of is the lawful one, and you repent to him. Well, yeah, I want to be lawful. Help me, show me how to be a righteous person. Okay. But you never came to that. So now you're having terror put on you because you think that you're safe. And that just came to mind to bring out the fact of the reason that Abba has to bring you to Messiah is that you're not in a position to walk as he did, to have sin taken away, if you don't walk in repentance first. It cannot be. And that so it's not just that they just, you know, flip a coin, oh, that's the reason. No, that Abba knows that you won't, there's no reason to remove sin from you when you don't want to get away from sin in the first place. It makes no sense. Because repentance is about a complete turn to Yah, walking in agreement with them, and Yah says, this is sin, get away from it. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Well, if you don't pass the test there, why would they take sin out of your heart? Because you don't want it out of your heart. You don't have any desire for it. There's no reason for you to come to my son. So it's a logical process.
So tell me if this stands true, which it does. And Mother brought this to mind, and it just makes perfect sense with what we're talking about. Because you had mentioned the enemy of God, the devil, and not just the devil, but the demons as well, the fallen ones. And here's what's interesting, is that with this process of faith, it actually works the opposite as it does with God. See, with God, in the beginning, they're not going to verbally talk to you. And you're not going to hear their voice that way. You have to hear their voice through the prophets in the Old Testament. They're going to, and then you get to Messiah, you get to hear Messiah's voice, and then you get to conversate through Messiah back and forth, and then you move to Mother, where you have open conversation with all three of them, and it's not an issue, but it takes practice. You have to practice talking to all three, and you have to tune them in so that you have it. But here's how it works with the enemy. See, when you're in the beginning stages or you're not seeking for God, the enemy's the one that's talking to you. And people may think that we're crazy and, you know, the enemy doesn't speak to people. Yeah, they do. And how did he entice David to count the fighting men of Israel if he doesn't speak to people or put thoughts in their heads or however you want to look at it? The enemy speaks to you. That's the voice you hear the clearest. And remember that the demons can appear as an angel of light. Oh, you're okay. It's okay. You accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you're once saved, always saved. Certainly you're once saved, always saved. You don't have to worry about that. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. See, people don't understand because they're told that, well, if they hear a voice, then it's got to be the voice of God, unless, you know, they don't want to be considered crazy. Then they just say nothing. But the reality is that at the beginning of faith and prior to faith, you're hearing voices. And those voices are, some, it's your thoughts, but some are the demons and Satan giving you direction. And they're not going to come at you in an ugly way to let you know exactly how much they hate you and how much they want you to believe what they're telling you in this nice, soft voice, and it's okay, and it'll be all right, and don't worry about it. You're fine. You don't need to think about that. And then God puts the pressure on later on, and you're, well, I don't know if I'm saved. I just, you know, and then the enemy's like, yeah, you're saved. Remember, you did this, and you're trying to live a better life, so you're okay. And so it's, and then what happens is that you start to tune the voice of God in, and when you tune the voice of God in, you tune the voice of the enemy out. So when you get to Messiah, you're still going to have a mix of the voice of the enemy and the voice of Messiah, and you have to weigh what's being told you. You have to test the spirits, like it says in James chapter 5, test the spirits. Does this line up with God, who they are, what they're about? Is this, you know, and then you can make a determination by that, by weighing that, and then you can determine, oh, okay. And so then you start to distinguish, okay, that's the voice of the enemy. I'm not listening to that anymore. That voice, that's truth, and I know that's truth, and that's what I'm going to listen to. And then you get to the point of mother where you've tuned into that station, and you've tuned out of the other station. If I'm at 90.1 on the dial, and I turn my dial up to 107.9, am I going to hear what's on 90.1? No, because you've transferred to a different frequency. You've moved to the God. And so the objective goal is the voice that you're hearing, if you're not in faith, or you're, you know, you're in Christianity and you're seeing that, well, you know, maybe it's not right because I just keep seeing these things, then recognize that that voice is speaking to you. It's not God. But you let God speak to you through the word and believe it and prove to them, to prove to Abba, that you have faith in him, which will give you the repentance, the obedience, and the trust in Abba. Well, Abba, you promised, it's promised that you draw people to the Messiah, and that's the only way to get there, so I'm just going to trust that you're going to draw me to Messiah. And so it's just, it's amazing, but it's pretty cool that we have a time, and I know this because I walked through it. When I thought I was in Christianity and I thought I was saved, and those soft voices just trying to keep me where I was, but something in my mind was like, oh, the word of God doesn't say that, and I'm going with the word of God. I'm trusting Abba through the prophets, because this, yeah, that sounds good, but no, that's not right. And so it's just important for people to understand that prayer with God is something that has to be worked. You're not going to get it right away. And even with circumcision of the heart, it takes you time. It takes you practice of talking to Abba, Ima, Yahusha, getting to understand their voices, how they speak, what they say. And then you start to distinguish when one speaks to you. Oh, okay, that was Abba, and I can clearly see that. Or that was Messiah, and well, that was Mother. And so it's a huge thing for people to recognize that it's going to take work for you to get to the point where you hear their voices. And like I said, even in circumcision of the heart, you still have to practice. That's why Paul was saying to pray unceasing. Because if I'm conversating with God without stopping, then I can't go backwards, because I'm continually moving without ceasing.
And I got a question for you, and I know you'll be able to answer this, but this is just having conversation. But have you, and this is just authors coming to mind, have you ever read or read any parts of a Stephen King book? Just out of curiosity, if you have or haven't, doesn't. I was just curious.
I have not read any of them, but I had seen a couple of the movies.
Well, the reason bringing this out is, if you were to, and that idea came to mind, but let's just say just an author that you've read their books before. All right, what would just use Stephen King as an example? So you're reading a book that he's written where you're hearing his voice because he's speaking to you as you're reading that book. Now, you're not talking with Stephen King face to face, but you're getting to see, all right, well, this is his writing, so I'm getting to hear his writing. And it's the same with the Bible, that you're not talking face to face verbally with him, but you're communicating with him because you're reading his book. And if you believe in the book or you take it to heart and, man, I really like to meet him. Well, think about how you become a fan and you really like the books and then you meet him face to face. Oh my gosh, like this is what a joy to see you face to face. But with the Word of God, like we were saying, that Yah is praying, giving information so you can know who they are, and you get to the point where you can talk to them face to face and actually talk with the author who knows the heart of everything that's being written. But it's by faith that you approach them because you read the word and you meditate on it. And that proves that you're seeking after them. And then they will say, okay, well, I see that you really want to speak with us, so we're going to speak to you. Now, not that they're not speaking, but the point of this is that Stephen King is speaking through his writing, and he's not talking to you face to face verbally, but if you sought it out, you could, you know, communicate by email or text or something like that. And it's just making me think of that it's in a process that once you prove yourself, because Messiah came to give us an example and he was made in every way just like us. So think about this. This came to mind. He had an opportunity to hear the voice and rebuke it. And think about how this comes out. Lord, certainly that will never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan, because you don't have the things of God in mind, but the things of self. But think about how that came out. Well, certainly, Lord, that wouldn't happen to you. Just like, did God really say to you couldn't eat of every tree and just get behind me, Satan? Well, why would he do that? And it's an example to say that be distinguishing these voices, because you don't realize that he's getting to you, because what do you mean that this isn't what I'm supposed to do? Or who are you listening to? And just thought about that he, even in that moment, and you know, he was taken out to the desert and the enemy was speaking to him. Nope, I'm not doing that. I'm doing the will of God. And so you'll go through the same similar testings to where, what are you going to do when that voice comes to you? No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing the will of God. I'm not listening to this anymore, but it takes practice. But Messiah has been through this exactly like we're going through.
Right, and there's a trifold aspect that ties to something Messiah said that's missed out on. And it's spoken of when he says, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice. Again, he's leading into the wise and the foolish builder. You know, those who put them into practice, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice will have that rock solid, hard foundation. But watch this, okay? Given by mother, watch this. You have to have that with Abba first. Those who hear these words of mine in the Old Testament and obey them, okay, is like the wise builder. And then Messiah, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, same thing. And then mother, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice are like the wise builder. So it's like you're a class C contractor, and then you go to get your class B contractor license, and then you get your class A contractor license. And so you have the three steps in the process. The first step is a little bit easier than the second step, and the second step is easier than the third step, but it still carries the same principle. And it's just pretty cool like that. We're going to wind this down, and I just want to put this out, and then I'll let you close this out, that starting on Saturday morning, we're going to start doing another live podcast at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we are Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And anybody who is up at that time, or they might be in a different time zone that's ahead of us, not behind us, that might want to tune in. But if you follow us, you'll get a notification on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock, and we're going to go into some other stuff, as well as it's still staying with the truth of God, but it's also going to be sharing information about like the psychology brought to us by God and that type of stuff. And so look forward to that time. And Sean, I'll leave it to you to close us out.
And something we'll close out with is with prayer, that if anybody thinks that God doesn't speak to them or they're not hearing the voice of God, if you ever open up the Bible and read the very words of God, that you cannot say that God is not speaking to you. Now, if you're leaning on your own understanding, leaning on your perception, that you're looking for an audible voice, but just realize that you cannot, now you can say it, but it wouldn't be correct, that you can't say that you don't hear the voice of God because you read the words, you hear it in your mind. So God is speaking, God is praying, and really wants to reach everybody, but the ones that are seeking them and are fully committed, that Yah will strengthen. So as Yah told us before, don't make excuses, because don't excuse yourself, but just realize that God is speaking all the time, and it's just a matter of tuning into their frequency and learning how to tune in to Yah and tuning out to the enemy. So with that, last week we actually ended with actual prayer. But since we've been actually talking this time about prayer is conversational relationship. So as we close out, I just ask Abba, Brother Yeshua, Mother Ema, just ask that those listening, that you will help those that are really want to know the truth, that people that have questions, that you will answer them as they look through the word, and just ask that those that are seeking with all their heart, that you'll comfort them. Those that are still looking into this, that just ask that you bring things to mind that will help them to dig deeper as they're looking. And again, this is, Mother, this is your podcast. We are doing what you want us to do. Obedience to you is what we desire. And just ask Yah that you bless those that are listening to this podcast and help them on the journey of finding you and getting to know you face to face. And we'll see you all next time.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.